let's say it again. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I will worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, I will worship Your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I will worship Your holy name. Your love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, I will worship Your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I will worship Your holy name. Come on, say, bless the Lord. Well, oh my soul, I will worship His holy name. Sing like never before. I will worship His holy name. Yes, I will. I will worship His holy name. I will worship His holy name. Praise the Lord. Bless our God. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. It's good to see you on this Wednesday night. Amen. Let's bow our hearts and pray. Precious Lord, we thank You so much, Lord, for the grace that You have provided us each one, Lord, to be standing in this place, Lord, on this Wednesday night, Lord, in Your presence. Father, there's no greater place to be outside the streets of glory, Lord, than to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, as we have come to worship You, Lord, we desire to hear from You, Lord. We desire, Lord God, to feel Your presence, Lord, moving in our midst, Lord. And we just surrender ourselves to You, Lord, asking that You would take each one of us and use us for Your glory and Your great name's sake. Father, we pray, Almighty God, that You would bless, anoint our pastor, Lord God. Speak to us through him, Lord Jesus. Help him to get himself out of the way, Lord, that we may hear Your word, Lord God, and continue to grow thereby. Father, we love You so much, Lord. We pray, Father, that You would strengthen our pastor. Thank You for bringing Sister Cobb back safely, Lord. We pray also, Lord, that our brothers and sisters who have yet to make it into the house of the Lord, that you would give them each one traveling mercies, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. We commit all things in your hands now. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's sing this little song together before Brother Jack comes. Into I open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. No one, no. There's none like you. Come on, into the darkness you shine. Well, into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes, oh, we rise. There's no one like you. Oh, no, there's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Hey, our God. Come on, into the darkness you shine. Into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. No one, Lord. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healed. He's awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God is greater. Our God, yes, He is. Oh, yes, He is than any other. Our God is He. He's awesome in power. Our God, hey. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can... Amen, let's sing it again. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God
what could stand against? Oh, our God is greater. Our God is, oh, our God. God, you. God is, He is awesome. Oh, our God.
Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, O God, for the opportunity to be able to come back into the house of the Lord to hear the word of the Lord. We ask, O God, that you would just minister to every heart, to those that are present, those that are online. Trust, O God, that you would speak to us in the only way that you can. We trust, Father, that you bless those that may still be on the way, God. Give them traveling mercies. This is our prayers in Jesus' name. We ask it. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. We will turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Praise the Lord. It says, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, it is not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over is his inheritance. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? It says, then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God, to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. Now, as we're reading this, the prophet Samuel is giving very, very explicit instructions as to what Saul should be expecting. And I think we'll find, you know, that God operates the same way. This happened in the ministry of Jesus. This happened in the ministry of God's prophet to us, William Branham, where he was very specific as to what things people should look for, you know, when they were expecting, you know, just an answer to certain things. So when we're reading this, the beautiful thing I like about it is that it's not just a story. I can see the pattern of God, and I can see that this message that we believe, God did the same things in that message, which vindicates even further that this was God. This was the hand of God. So verse 4 says, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive in their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. It's something about when the Spirit of God comes upon you, it should make a change in your life. Verse 7 says, and let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to burn, to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. Now, we'll get to that later on as we continue to read through the book of Samuel. But when you look at all the things that Saul was given, all the signs that he was given, when it got down to this last thing that he was supposed to do, he should not have been disobedient. Because, he had everything that he needed. And if God had already proven himself and all these other things, then God would have proven himself in that final thing. But unfortunately, it was the final test where Saul failed. It was his final test where he failed. My God, we don't want that to be our story. Don't come all the way down the road and get to the final test and blow it. Don't do that. But here, you know, verse 9 says, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place, and Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, whither went ye? And he said, to seek the asses. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. Now they knew anytime you had audience with a prophet, something was happening. So this uncle wanted, hey, what happened here with Samuel? And you're gonna see that Saul does not share all the information with his uncle. And I'm not sure why he doesn't share all the information with the uncle, but I will tell you that sometimes you don't have to share all your information with people because you don't know what they're going to do with the information you're going to give them. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? I mean, I don't think Saul didn't know what was getting ready to happen with his uncle. And I'm sure he knew his uncle's personality. I'm sure he knew it. So he didn't tell him everything. He just told him what he needed to know. All right, here he says this, verse 16 says, and Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom where Samuel spake, he told him not. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all kingdoms and of them that oppress you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. When they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord have chosen, that there is none like him among all the people? And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. And I like that because God touched these people's hearts to want to support Saul in this new position he had as king. But notice in verse 27, says, but the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. So you're going to have some people that are for you, but you're also going to have some people that's against you. Amen. And that just goes with the territory. You know, you have to understand that. And the one thing that we don't see is Samuel spending all his time with the people that were against him and fighting with them. He just led the people that God told him to lead and the ones that God gave a heart to follow, right? So, amen. There's a lot that we're going to get into here as we are reading. There's, you know, a lot of components. I just kind of read the whole chapter there so we can kind of see where we're where we are. But there's a lot of things that Brother Branham, just through his ministry, he touches, you know, this chapter a little bit, and we want to bring out some of that. So this first quote I want to read is from the sermon Questions and Answers. Brother Branham is saying, it says, "Now, like the fundamentalists come to me, was here some time ago, and he said to me, 'You kind of lean Calvinistic, don't you?' I said, 'Well, as long as Calvin's in the Bible, I'm with him.' And I said, I just go to the Bible, and if Calvin stays in the Bible, but if he gets off the Bible, then I just go along, believe the Bible." He said, "Well," he said, "I want to say something to you." He says, "I've heard you say that if a man was once saved, that he could never be lost." I said, "That's exactly what the scripture says." And he's quoting a scripture out of John 5:24. It says, "He has eternal life and shall never come into condemnation or judgment, but that's already passed from death to life." I said, "That wasn't me said that. That was Jesus Christ that said that." It says, "I want to ask you something then." It said, "Do you believe that Saul was saved?" I said, "King Saul?" He said, "Yes." Well, I said, "Sure." He said, "Now remember, he was a prophet." So now he's telling Brother Branham that Saul was a prophet. Now watch how Brother Branham corrects him here. I said, "Correctly, the Bible said he prophesied with the prophets. He had a gift of prophecy. He wasn't a prophet, but he had a gift of prophecy, because he was down there with the prophets when they were prophesying. But we know that Samuel was a prophet in that day, but Saul was prophesying with the prophets." Now, as we get deeper into our lessons, we will find where Brother Branham says a gift of prophecy is different from somebody actually being a prophet, right? Because a gift of prophecy could actually fall on me once, and then it might fall on you once, then it might fall on another person once. And just because it fell on you once does not make you a prophet. That's right. It's simply a gift of prophecy. And this is where, you know, sometimes people get a little confused in church, because they would get a certain anointing, and then and that gift of prophecy would fall on them, and now all of a sudden they feel like they're a prophet, you know. And no, it might be a one-time situation, right? So and Saul is a pure example of that, as a one-time situation where God allowed this, this was something to kind of prove to Saul that God was with him, that everything Samuel was telling him, God was backing it up, God was behind it. But yet, you know, you cannot call Saul a prophet, and especially when Saul is going to the witch of Endor later on in the scripture. You can't call him a prophet, right? So it's very important that we be able to separate that. A gift of prophecy and what a real prophet is. I mean, sometimes gift of prophecies will miss it. They'll miss it. A prophet, what we just read here in scripture, prophet gives you clear details. Go down there, you're going to see this. You're going to find this person doing this. You're going to find that person doing this. And then, you know, they're going to do this. When you get there, they're going to give you 2 loaves of bread. You'll see them with 3 loaves of bread. They're going to give you 2 loaves. It's very, very clear when it comes to a prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad we ain't got to be confused with this stuff in this hour. And people, you know, other thing Brother Branham say, a prophet is born a prophet. I mean, from it's like God told Jeremiah, before you was even born, my God, he said, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet, right? I mean, so that they're born with this, but a gift of prophecy, you're not born with that. You just, I mean, like Saul, he just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And that spirit came upon him. So you can be in an anointed service and then surrender to God in that anointed service, and the gift of prophecy can come out of you. Hallelujah. I've seen it. I've seen it. I even seen the gift of prophecy come out upon people that weren't even living right. But I don't call them prophets. Amen. But I've seen the gift of prophecy operate like that. It's important that we know these differences, because you won't get caught up in gifts. Gifts are a part of what's supposed to happen in the church, but sometimes when people are out of place with their gift, it could create more problems than anything you ever imagine. It can create a lot of problems, a lot of problems. My. And then I'm gonna tell you another one that you have to watch out for. When a gift is in somebody's life and then they feel like their gift is higher than the seventh angel, you know you got a problem. And they start saying things like, Brother Branham wasn't the only one. Wait a minute, we heard that in the Bible before. Moses had a few guys in his camp that was saying stuff like that, and the earth opened up and swallowed these guys. All right, so don't come with that. If your gift is not subject to the message that we're teaching, something wrong with your gift. Something wrong with your gift, because there's no one going to go higher than that seventh angel who was supposed to reveal all the mysteries of God. Nobody going higher than that. Only Christ is higher than that. But when we talk about ministries, ain't no ministry going higher than that. Right. So anybody come along and feel like, well, Brother Branham wasn't the only one. I mean, other people got gifts. You're not even approaching this the right way. So that right there should be a telltale sign. Like, no, I'm not going to entertain that. Praise God. Until you can get your spirit right, I'm not even entertaining it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. I'm telling you, if you know just little simple things, you don't get caught by stuff that people do. Right. Amen. And then the first thing you hear when people talk well about this, the first thing you hear is a person come to church, and then they'll leave and they'll say, people not receiving my gift. No, that's not true. We welcome the gift. We just want the gift to be subject to the word. That's all we're asking for, right? If the gift can be subject to the word, it's amen. Hallelujah. And I mean, a real gift will say amen to that and not, no, brother, you're trying to keep me down. No, I'm not trying to keep nobody. All I want is to keep everything in line with the word, because the word is right. Everything else is wrong, but the word is right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, amen. So he says Saul was prophesying with the prophet. He said, then if he was a prophet, then he was saved. So look at this man's revelation. If he was a prophet, he was saved. And so Brother Branham said, I said, absolutely. Now, he just letting the guy, he giving him some rope to just kind of run on out there. It says, then I want to ask you something. Said, I want to ask you something. Said, now you say Saul was saved. It said, the Bible said that said the Lord departed from him and he became an enemy to God and he committed suicide, and then say that he was saved. So, I'm cutting the quote there because it's a pretty long quote, but I'll kind of explain the rest of this. Brother Branham was just kind of letting the man know, look, I said that Saul was saved, that he was not lost. He was not a prophet. He just had the gift of prophecy that hit him at one time. And Brother Branham said, now, you know, how do we know that, that Saul was saved? You know, he says, because Saul, later on in his life, when he, you know, he says, I know he did backslide, but he wasn't lost. And he says, because we know when he backslid, he first banned all witches in the land. Anybody the spirit of, operating in the spirit of witchcraft, he had that all bound. But he got to a spot where he was in battle, and the prophet Samuel's already gone on. So he decided that, look, I need to hear from God. And his decision was to go to a witch and have this witch call up the spirit of Samuel. And this lady actually did it. Now, you know, look, that realm where this lady went into, that realm is real. It's a very real realm. Lord have mercy. Let me just mention just a couple things here while I'm here. I think Brother Quaker was saying something about this on Sunday, and I didn't have time to come back and just make a comment about it. But there was a time Brother Branham's wife had lost her mom, I believe it was. And she was really downtrodden, you know, about missing mom. And, you know, and it was bothering her. Brother Ram's sitting there trying to, you know, talk to her. And then finally he makes a comment to her. He says, now, dear, I know this is going to be hard for you to receive. I know this is going to be hard for you to understand. He says, but I'm telling you, and they were sitting in the living room, and he said, your mama's sitting right over there on the couch. He says, what? He's like, the only thing is you cannot try to go where she is, and you can't try to intercede with her. You just have to let it be what it is. But I'm telling you, your mama is present. Brother Branham told us that when we die, all we do is change dimensions. And this lady tapped into that other dimension. And even one time, Brother Branham was praying. This mother and father come and say, you know, we lost our son. He just died in a, I guess, some type of accident or something like that. And he died. And they were like, we, you know, kind of, he died young. And we really would like for you to pray, you know. And Brother Branham say, okay, just give me a little bit. And he prayed. And then the quote says that he began to search the regions. He's searching the regions. And as he's searching the regions, he said he found the boy. And he saw the boy in the presence of a great light. So he comes back to the parents and he says, I found your son. I found him. And he's in the presence of a great, great light is where I see him at. And he says, if you want me to, I will call him back. But if I were you, I would leave him where he is. This realm is a very real realm, right? And like I say, Brother Branham just kind of tells us all it is we just change dwelling places. We change, you know, just switch dimensions. And this is what Brother Quake was kind of bringing out with those, you know, the seven dimensions. He actually called it eight dimensions, but you know, Brother Branham talked about the seven dimensions, right? And Brother Quaker added the eight. It's like we create an atmosphere for God while we worship and praise him. But Brother Branham talked about the seven dimensions, right? So, but it's just understanding that those dimensions are real. When he talked about science being in the fourth dimension, your cell phone is operating in that all day long. All day long, right? People that are watching this stream, right? They can be wherever they are in the world, but it seems like they're right here because of that fourth dimension. Right. It shows that these things are true, church. Right. We don't have to be afraid of it, right? It's true. And a witch went into that dimension. Mm-hmm. A witch. And I'm going to tell you, there are believers not just a prophet, but they're believers that God could use to go into that dimension if you had need of it. And that those parents came because they had need of it. We want to know about our son. And when they heard that he was in the presence of great light, they said, okay, we good. They knew the boy was in eternity. So they had no problem with that. But it's real. Church, I'm telling you, I'm just one that believes that God wants us to experience his fullness. I absolutely believe that God wants us to fulfill experience his fullness, but we got to know how these things tie into the scripture. So when experiences come, we can go back to the scripture and know that, okay, we're standing on the word. Not some far-fetched something, but no, this happened in the Bible. So we know it's real. Amen. Brother Branham went on to say at the end of this quote, he said, when Saul went to the witch of Endor and he had her bring the spirit of Samuel up, Samuel's already dead, and she went and brought the spirit of Samuel up, and Samuel came and actually was prophesying. He was still a prophet, rose from the dead, and then he comes and he prophesies to Saul and tells him, by this time tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. So what Brother Branham is trying to tell this brother, if Saul was lost, then Samuel would have also been lost. Hallelujah. But by this time tomorrow, your son and you will be with me. So wherever Samuel was, that's where Saul was. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for a prophet. Thank God for a prophet. All right, let's go on. This message, the rejected king. It says, many of them want to say the days of miracles is past. That's what tickles the people. They want to say there's no baptism of the Holy Spirit. The people don't want to act any different than what the rest of the world acts. They don't want to get on the street to have their face washed, and men with clean countenance and not cigarettes in their mouth and cigars and pipes and the things that men do. And women wants their hair cut up real short and little dresses on and showing their forms and things that they want. They want men who will tell them that's all right. So it's then the other night, here come a man to tell me that because that I preached against such, that a great denomination, about five of them, said, we'll drop Brother Branham and have nothing else to do with him. You know, either call those tapes back and apologize for them, or we'll drop you. Look at these fellas putting the prophet in a corner. Either call your tapes back and apologize, or we won't support your ministry anymore, is what they're saying. Brother Branham said, I said, I'll stand with God's word. Though it takes everything that's in my life, I remain with the word. Said, well, shouldn't you not call back such and such a tape? I said, I have never preached anything in my life that I was ashamed of. I'll call back no tapes or no records. I'll remain with what the Holy Spirit says that I'll live by and die by. I'm not trying to say about myself now, but I'm just trying to give you an illustration of what's going on so you will see and understand it's people wants to be led by man. They didn't want, I'm going on here, it says they didn't want Samuel. Then before they anointed Samuel came to them again and says, I'm going to speak just in language like he would have said it today. You may read it. So he says, what is the matter with God being your king? And so he's using today's language. He says, we don't see God. The reason that they want a king, right? They want human leadership. Brother Branham say that in today's language, what's the matter with God being your king? Well, we don't see God. And look at this answer. Well, I'm his representative. So you see God in this man, and you ought to respect the God that's in this man. Hallelujah. Right? Same thing it is, God sent us a prophet. We respect the God that was using this prophet because it was nobody but God doing this. This man couldn't do this on his own, but this was God using the man. Hallelujah. Says, I'm his representative. Samuel said, have I ever told you anything wrong? Have I ever prophesied anything that didn't come to pass just as I said it would do? You know, when I say things like that, I know that oftentimes when we come to church and we get new people that come, and they've never, ever heard anybody say, get into the pulpit and say, Brother Branham said. They've never heard that in their life. What in the world are y'all talking about? Brother Branham said. Now, Jesus said, Paul said, David said. I know all them Bible characters, but when you bring it present tense and say, Brother Branham said, what are you saying? And I know that just throw a lot of people off. But the thing of it is that we're not trying to throw anybody off. What we're trying to do is get them to see the furtherance of the word, you know, for their day and for their time. And I was thinking about this a little earlier. I said, many of us walked into a church for the first time when we heard this message. And we'd never heard anybody say, Brother Branham said. But it didn't shake us. It didn't shake us. How did we get to a spot where, okay, I get that. That's no problem. You know, I know for me, I think after I read Brother Branham's life story, I knew that God was speaking through this man. I knew that 100%. So I actually wanted to hear what he said. After I read his life story, I said, no. These things don't happen just normal, everyday people. This is supernatural. I need to know what this man is saying. Right. So I don't think we have to be ashamed or try to dummy it down. You know, no, we got to just tell people the truth. And if there's something in there, it will strike. The light will strike that seed. If there's something in there and there's nothing you can do to get away from it, light will strike the seed. Right here. He goes on and says, have I ever told you anything wrong? Have I ever prophesied anything that didn't come to pass just as I said it would do? Have not I told you the word of the Lord? And I will ask you this. Have I ever come to you and begged any of you your money? Have I ever took anything from you? Have I ever brought you anything? But straight thus saith the Lord. And when Brother Branham's preaching this, he's preaching his own testimony, right? I mean, he's really talking to people that he's had to go through this stuff with. You know, have I? I mean, y'all accuse me of this, accuse me of that. You want me to take back what I said? No. Have I ever said anything that wasn't of God? And even most of these sermons that he would preach, you listen to the tape, man, the Holy Ghost is coming after every sermon to vindicate this what he preached. I mean, when the prayer line come, it's just pure vindication. Supernatural, every city, all over the world, wherever he go, the angel Lord is there, you know, to prove that that message was right. So why, if they see all of that, probably one of their relatives got healed, and then they're going to come tell him to take the tape back? No. You don't have to take anything back when it's thus saith the Lord. Amen. He said, I haven't brought anything but straight thus saith the Lord, and God is vindicated every time that it was the truth, and he sent a thunderstorm and rains. You know the scripture right there to prove that Samuel was God's mouthpiece. And as Samuel perfectly represented today, the Holy Spirit is God's mouthpiece that speaks just exactly what the Bible said, that believes just what the Bible said and won't vary from it one bit, but they wanted somebody who could tell them different. Lord have mercy. I've seen that. I kind of had somebody ask me some questions, you know, about dressing and all of that. And we're just looking for a little something different. And I'm like, no, I can't. I'm going to just say what the prophet said. But I was told that there are sometimes ladies, sisters get jobs, and those jobs require them to wear pants. The job requires them to wear pants. I said, if a sister has a job that requires her to wear pants, she actually has the wrong job. She's got the wrong job. I don't care how much money she's making. She is on the wrong job. And I said, and most jobs will give you, they'll accommodate you if you tell them that this is against your faith. They will accommodate you, right? So if the job will not accommodate you, even when you tell them it's against your faith, then what you need to do is change jobs. Praise the Lord, because that is not a way to honor God on your job like that. And, you know, so, I mean, again, people want to hear something a little different. But now I'm going to just tell you, you got the wrong job, sis. That's the wrong job. Well, the Lord ain't opened up that door. The devil gave you that job. The devil gave you that job for sure. And if you really want to see God give you a job, take a stand for his word. Take a stand for his word and watch what God do. Hallelujah. Amen. People want someone to tell them a little something different. No. We're going to stay with this word. He goes on and says, and the people could not say that Samuel's prophecy wasn't perfect. They answered and said, Samuel, all that you have spoke in the name of the Lord has brought it to pass just as you said. There's not one flaw. You never did come to us and beg us for our money. You have supported yourself. You've never asked us to do any great outstanding thing for you. You've trusted in your God, and he has delivered you from all things. And your words are true, and everything you spoke in the name of the Lord has been just as you said. But still, we want a king. Lord, that's a shame that they get to that spot. Still, we want a king. And people are in the same spot today. They still want. And with a king, they want human leadership. They want a man to be over them rather than let God be over them. All right. I'm skipping down in the same sermon, The Rejected King, this paragraph 23.6. He says, all fear of death. I say this with my Bible before me this morning. I've got a little boy. They're 4 years old to be raised. I got a 9-year-old girl and a teenager, and I'm thankful for, and that's turned the way of the Lord. God let me live to bring them up in the admonition of God. Above that, the whole world seems to scream to me. 90-year-old woman and men and all kinds, if you hadn't have went, we wouldn't be here. And God, let me press the battle. But if it comes to dying, I am no more, it would be a joy. It would be a joy if I could, it would be a joy, it would be a pleasure to enter from this corruption and disgrace. If I could make up yonder 100 billion miles high, square block, and that's perfect love, each step this way, and it narrows until we get down to where we are now, it would be just merely a shadow of corruption. That little something that we can sense and feel that there's something somewhere. We don't know what it is. Oh, my precious friend, my beloved, my darlings of the gospel, my begotten children unto God, listen to me. Your pastor says, I wish there was some way I could explain it to you. There's no words. I couldn't find it. It's not found anywhere. But just beyond this last breath is the most glorious thing that you ever there. He said, there is no way to explain it. There's no way. I just can't do it. But whatever you do, friends, lay aside everything else till you get perfect love. Get to a spot that you can love everybody, every enemy, everything else. That one visit there, to me, has made me a different man. I can never, never be the same Brother Branham that I was. He says, whether the planes are rocking, whether lightnings are flashing, whether the spies has a gun on me, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I'm going to press the battle by the grace of God while I preach the gospel to every creature and every person that I can, persuading them to that beautiful land yonder. It may seem hard. It may take a lot of strength. Now, Brother Branham's talking about his experience of going over to the other side and what he saw. God gave him the opportunity to both experience hell and to experience heaven, right? He went to both places. And when he went to hell, he said he was crying out, Mama. And he said there was no mama there. He cried out, Daddy, and there was no daddy there. And he said just the isolation and just being alone, it really did something to him. He said he even cried out, "God," no God there. So that really just shook him, you know, as a young man. He wasn't serving the Lord, and that really shook him. But when he went to on the other side, and he saw his wife, and he saw his wife had passed, and saw his daughter, and he saw these believers that were all on the other side, he said there was no words in the English language to really express it or show what it was all about. He just called it perfect love. He just said it's just perfect love. And he said he came back just trying to encourage everybody he could to go there. What I'm telling you is that other realm is so real. And that's why he said as a believer, when we cross over, we one step away from one of the most sublime experiences that we ever had in our life. So believers don't fear death. Amen. Believers know that they're being rewarded. When they leave this pest house, right, they know they're being rewarded. Praise God, right? So he says, I don't know how much longer. We don't know. Physically speaking, from my examination the other day, you got 25 years of hard, good life. You're solid. That helped me. But, oh, that wasn't it. That isn't it. It's something within here. This corruption has got to put on incorruption. This mortal got to put on immortality. Now here the doctor gives him a checkup and says, you got 25 years of a good life. Well, when you look, this quote is 1960. Brother Branham was gone in 1965. So even though the doctor said you got 25 years, God, he only had 5 years, right? So, but the thing is, it don't matter when God calls you. When you're ready, mind you stepping into something sublime. Amen. Live for God. Live every day for God. Every day, every hour, every minute, every second, live for God. He goes on to say that the sons of Kish may rise. All the good things they do, I have nothing evil to say against it, giving to the poor and to charity. And you remember why Samuel told Saul, you'll also prophesy. And many of those men are great, mighty preachers and can preach the word like archangels, but still it wasn't God's will. Now, that's something to me that's very, very powerful. Sometimes you're just scrolling through on social media and they got all kind of preachers popping up. And sometimes you hear some of the things that these ministers might say and like, man, they brought out something there. That was you know, something I never heard before, you know. And sometimes you can get kind of wrapped up, you know, in that. But here Brother Branham said, you know, they could have that same spirit that Saul had on him. That he just prophesied one time with the prophets, right? That don't make him a prophet. And just because one preacher have one good sermon don't really make him, you know, this person that we should be listening to all the time. Hallelujah, right? Sometimes people can say things that just right where you're going through, so they just happen to say the right thing all the time. But that don't mean be, you know, tuning in all the time to what they're saying, especially if they're not saying what the prophet's saying. And I remember, you had, Lord have mercy, I hate to call names. I hate to be the one calling names, but sometimes you have to call the names because that's the only way people understand. But there was a minister he's still around today, but back in the day, the radio ministry was top-notch, Tony Evans' ministry. But I think Tony Evans one time come to try and explain something about Brother Branham, and it just, no, sir, that didn't work. And I found that anybody that kind of, you know, not able to go on with this, something come up later on. And we see Tony Evans, something come up in him, he had to step down. T.D. Jakes, he can preach to your emotions. That man can preach to your emotions. That man come up with a sermon, woman, thou art loosed. And the sisters wonder, what is he saying? Uh-huh, you better watch what he's saying, right? But this man done preached your emotions to level, and now you question all the message preachers. How come the message preachers don't never say nothing like this? Because it ain't the word. That's why they ain't saying it. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, amen. But I'll just say you have to be so careful. Brother Branham said, I don't care how many sons of Kish. He's talking about Saul. He was the son of Kish. I don't care how many sons of Kish may rise. All the good things they do. Lord have mercy. You know, people get in a spirit. You know, and I heard these things. That's why I can say these things. I heard, you know, in the message, y'all don't do no outreach. In the message, y'all don't do this. In the message, y'all don't do that. In the message, y'all don't do that. I mean, all the things that we don't do in the message. And they felt like because we didn't do all those things that justified them leaving, because they got all these other churches that's doing all of this, but y'all not doing nothing. I've been on both sides of this thing, and I've watched where people will use a sob story to pull on your heartstrings, to get you to open up your purse and pull out your wallet and give them some money. And I've come to, you know, in the world, Christmas time brings so much money to the stores. They bring so much money that the people can almost be shut down the rest of the year because they made so much money at Christmas time. Let me tell you something. Mega churches make so much money. When they put together a nice Christmas program and pull on your heartstring, they make so much money that they don't really need you to come the rest of the year. That's how much money they get. I mean, sometimes millions of dollars are raised in one offering. In one offering, right? But you can see all of that. You can see these people doing all these things, and they're good things. We're not speaking against the things they're doing. Somebody being helped by it, right? But just because they do all that don't mean that they're standing on the truth. It don't mean they're standing on the truth. And what you want is not the things that people are doing, because our works are not going to get us into heaven. That's not it, right? But what's going to get us is our ability to be able to identify with the word for our day. And if they're going to reject the word for their day, appreciate everything you're doing. I might even need it one day. And I'm glad I got somewhere I can turn to go get it, you know. But that don't mean you're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. Then I come to find out, you know, people say that about other churches, not having outreach and not having that. They can't say that about Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, because we do those things. However, it's still not enough to get them to follow this word. So it's not really outreach that you were looking for, was it? Because we do that. And I heard, well, we don't hear no miracles about. And then they heard the miracle about Sister Tanya. It's not really miracles that you're looking for either, is it? Tell us what really is going on. What are you really looking for? I think you want to live a lifestyle that is a little against the word of God. That's really what it boils down to, right? You want to live differently. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Sons of Kish may rise. All the good things they do, I do. I have nothing evil to say against it. Given to the poor and the charity. And you remember why Samuel told Saul, you'll also prophesy. And many of those men are great, mighty preachers, can preach the word like archangels, but still it wasn't God's will. God was to be their king. And brother, sister, you let the Holy Spirit lead you. Amen. He says, let us bow our heads just a moment. He's going into quoting a song here. But we'll take this time and we'll end there tonight before we go into the next section here. But how we thank God. We just really, really thank God for being able to decipher, you know, what's right and what's wrong. The prophet lays these things out for us. And again, we don't have to be confused. We're certainly not trying to ostracize people. We just want things to be on the word. That's really what it all boils down to. We want the word. I want I want the genuine Holy Ghost moving in our midst. I don't want missing and sometimes hitting, sometimes missing. No, we don't have to settle for that when we know we saw God do it. And again, this wasn't Brother Branham doing that. This was God doing that in Brother Branham. And if God could do that in Brother Branham, God could do that in his church. A church that's been taught properly. God can do the same thing because it's nothing but Almighty God doing that. Lord have mercy, Jesus. I thank God for this. I thank God. So again, if somebody has a gift, we welcome gifts here. We just want it to be subject to the word. That's all we want. And gifts are not supposed to run the church. The word is what runs the church. The word is what governs the people. The highest order in the church is the word of God. That's the highest order. So, and even Brother Branham, I think I read a quote here recently. Brother Branham said, if you see it in the word, that's it. You stop right there. Once you see it in scripture, that's it. You don't have to go and ask nobody what you think when the word done told you exactly what to do. No, you don't ask nobody what they think. And you don't, like I said, like people call these 800 numbers or talk to psychics and stuff. No, we don't do things like that, not as believers, right? And even if somebody got a gift in the church, well, you know, I was reading the word and I know the Lord told me this, but I was just wondering, I know you got a gift in your life. I want to see what the Lord show you. What do you mean you want to see what the Lord show them? You don't want, if what they show you is going against the word, you know something wrong, because Paul said if an angel from heaven come and say something other than what's been said here, let him be accursed. So the word is the highest order. And we have to give preeminence for the word, right? So gifts don't run a church. And if you go to a church where the gift is running it, that's off. I gotta be the one to tell you. That is completely wrong. And we got it. Trust me, we have things like this going on. The gift runs the church, and the people go to the church to try to rally around the gift. No, we rally around the word. We rally around the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then they say, well, you ain't got no gifts. That's why you're coming again. No. We got gifts. We got them. They're just subject to the word. That's all. Praise God. And we know the difference. From the spirit of prophecy and a prophet. We know the difference. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Let me end there. Father, we thank you, O God, for your word. Thank you, God, for a prophet that brings us truth. Scripture told us that we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. We don't have to be intimidated by anything, because we know that we're standing on the right foundation. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to settle us, strengthen us, Lord, as we take our journey, this Christian journey. Strengthen us, Lord God, that you might be pleased with all that we do and all that we say. May you get all the glory, Father, out of our lives. Lord, areas where we might not be aligned properly with your word, then I pray that you would help us, Lord, to align ourselves accordingly. We want to see you move, Lord. We want to be a church where you have the liberty, the freedom to do what you desire to do in the midst of your people. We just want it to be done, Father, in a way that's pleasing to thee. So, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you and just ask that you would have your way, Lord, in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We have our Sunday morning service. The prayer service will start at 8:30 to 9:30, and then Sunday school will happen in between starting at 8:45 to 9:15, and then service will begin promptly at 9:30. We continue to stream through Facebook at SAT Tabernacle, as well as our church website, john423.org. You can stream there as well. Don't forget our annual business meeting will be held on Friday, January 30th here at the church. And then we also have our corporate fast will begin on February 16th and run through March 8th. And we have a couple guest ministers that are coming. Brother Dale Smith from Flagstaff, Arizona will be with us on February 25th. And Brother Chris Cathy from Kentucky will be with us on, I'm sorry, those dates are wrong. It's January 25th that Brother Dale will be with us. It's January 25th. And then I believe February 1st is when Brother Chris Cathy will be with us. So we'll get that updated for you. Also, don't forget on this Sunday, we're expecting Brother Ansi from Boynton Beach. He will be with us. Our giving is through Zelle, PayPal, and Cash App. Again, Zelle is preferred because they don't take fees. But if you have to use Zelle or PayPal, use giving at john423.org. And Cash App, you use $SpiritandTruthT. Our mailing address is on the bottom of the screen there for those that want to mail in an offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe that's all we need to announce. Do we have anybody that wants to share a testimony tonight? All right. Okay, my brother. Come on up. I know that we also want to remember, I believe Sister Verna, had a brother that passed away, so we want to remember the family in prayer. We'll do that tonight before we leave. You can come on up, brother.
God bless you. I have a neighbor, and we also play golf together, and I saw him walking. I saw a gentleman walking, and he had a cane, and he was walking by my house, in front of my house. And I actually didn't really recognize him at the time. And he called my name, and so I spoke to him, and then we kind of got to talking, and then I realized who it was. And so he was just telling me that that he had been diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer, and the doctor, they had given him a certain amount of months to live. And so of course that was troubling. We play golf together out at my subdivision together for a while. So I've been, praying for him and everything like that. And when Brother Nathan came, and Brother Jack was saying to invite different ones to come to the service because of Brother Nathan's ministry. So I went over his house and invited him to come, to the service. And then before I got in there, I realized, you have to, I can't remember what they call it on the post. Yeah, it's Jewish thing. So I realized he was Jewish. So when I went in, I invited him. But
He was Jewish. And so, he was like, well, no. I'm doing chemotherapy and stuff like that. And he said, Ray actually had been over, that's Brother Jack plays golf with Ray, had been over, I think, the day before or something, had invited him to his church as well. And but I did invite him. I said, yeah, we have a minister from out of town. He has a Hill ministry, and I wanted to come over and invite you to service. And he was like, okay, but no, thank you, and everything. I said, well, I'll be praying for you, everything. So I left, and we came to service, and they had prayer line and everything. And I think during the service, at some point, Brother Nathan, I'm kind of paraphrasing, Brother Nathan said something about he prayed for those who didn't come up but had something on their heart. Anyway, and he prayed for them, and I was holding that on my heart, that, you know, to pray for my neighbor and everything like that. And so I was praying for him and everything. So I just kind of let it go, but just had been praying for him and stuff. And then this past Saturday, I saw him walking with a couple of other neighbors, and he didn't have his cane, and he looked different. And I was like, he actually walked over there to me, and I was like, I saw him coming over to me, and he came over to me, and he was like, hey, I just want to let you know that not too long after you came over my house and talked to me, he said that the doctor, met with the doctor, and the doctor told me the cancer is in remission. And so I was like, well, praise the Lord. So I just wanted to kind of give that praise report. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. My God, my God, my God. Now we know that God is real. Yeah, well, he recognized that something happened after you left. So, wow. Yeah, that's powerful, church. We know that we serve a living God, amen. And as kings and priests, we stand in the gap for others. And even though he didn't come, man, he still reaped the benefit of having a believer as a neighbor. He still reaped the benefit, and at least he recognized that. So thank God for that. Thank God for that. I was thinking that when he said that he necessarily didn't go to churches, I was thinking that if they go to hospitals and not necessarily worried about what faith, but you still go to the hospital because you need help, why not go, amen, to a church service and let somebody pray for you, but God knows all things, and amen, he's operating in whatever the sincerity of his heart, but God still honored that. What a wonderful testimony. Thank you for sharing that, Brother Quentin. Certainly appreciate that. Anybody else want to share tonight? All right, got two, come on up. Just push it on. There you go. Okay.
God bless you.
Amen.
I just want to thank God for Traveling Mercies. Seems like I've been gone a long time. I walked into church today, and it's like, wow, I'm back. So I thank God for the miracle that we witnessed last week with my great-grandbaby. She's so beautiful. And Rachel is doing very well. So I just thank God for that. Thank God for all your prayers. And I'm just so happy. I'm really happy. And I also want to request prayer, continued prayer for this cough that just will not go away, but I still believe God. Okay.
And praise the Lord. Thank God for all things. Sis, you had your hand up too. You can leave it out. Thank you. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Sunday on the way to church 2 weeks ago. Okay. Sunday on the way to church, as Gabby and Chris was coming to church 2 weeks ago, they came out onto Belvedere right off of the street, and they immediately witnessed an accident, and it was a pretty bad accident and just shook both of them up. And being that they witnessed the accident, they were the only ones there, so they proceeded to get out of the truck and ran over and trying to help the people out. It was just the two of them, and the truck was, the vehicle was on fire. So Chris was doing everything he can by himself to break the windows to try to get the people out, and he was able to pull out two guys, and he said one of them was much bigger than him. And they kept asking, he got the two guys out that was in the front, and he said they were dressed like they were going to church as well. So the truck was on fire, so he was really scuffling and trying to move fast, and they kept asking the people, was there anybody in back of the vehicle? And they, you know, wasn't answering because they were all broken up and they were in really bad shape, he said. But I don't know if it was after the paramedics got there, they found out there was a little girl in the back of the truck, and she was just really burned up and really, really bad. So it really did a lot. You know, to Gabby and Chris, and it just, you know, still playing on their mind. And I just thank God for protecting them in that situation, you know, being the ones and the vehicles on fire and everything. But also just knowing everything happens for a reason and just praying that God will use that to just draw them closer to him. I don't know, maybe like past 2 months, I think, I've been bothered with my wrist, hurting me a lot, but mainly my right shoulder. It's been in a lot of pain. It's been hard for me to lift, and sometimes when I come to church, I just, you know, continue to just praise God even more with my shoulder, and it even bothers me at night when I'm asleep. So just praying that you would keep me in prayer with that. Not only that, but I'm coming up on my 50th birthday in December, so I've just been doing a lot of self-evaluation and just praying and have a lot of desires lifted up before God. And I was talking to the kids on Sunday about goals and New Year resolutions and stuff, and just saying how we have to really be prayerful that our desires and goals is lining up with God's will for us also. So just keep me in your prayers as I'm going through this year and have these desires lifted before God. And also asking continued prayer for Brother Troy, because he, you know, after the surgery, my sister Tanya called me and said he's had a few rough days since the surgery. So just keep him in your prayer as well.
Amen. Praise the Lord. My, my, my. Praise the Lord. Sister Shonda turning 50. Yeah, God is good. All right. Anybody else before we? All right. We'll remember these prayer requests, and want to pray for Sister Cobb, the cough that won't go away, and Sister Shauna just having little aches and pains in the body, telling us that we need a new body, and remember Brother Troy after his procedure there, that God would just continue to touch him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, on behalf of the different saints, Lord, that have just requested prayer. Sister Cobb asking for prayer. The enemy been, Lord, just trying to attack her with this cough. And we bind it in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you bring healing to every fiber of her being, her lungs. Lord, that this cough will subside, and whatever is causing it, Lord, that her doctors would be able to get to the root cause of it, Father, that she would be free from from this. And we thank you, O God, once again for blessing Brother Stephen and Sister Rachel with a little baby daughter. Patience, just pray that you just continue to watch over them as, Lord, as she just continues to develop and grow. Sister Shonda requests prayer. She's feeling pains in her body, wrist and shoulders, and Lord, just all over, just ask that you, God, would bring a healing touch to her, and that you, God, would just make her completely whole. Whatever it is that the enemy is trying to attack her with, Lord, we bind in the name of Jesus. We thank you for bringing Brother Troy through the procedure, and we realize that there's different things that he has to endure, but we ask that you would give him strength, oh God, and that you would give him wisdom and direction, and that you would also just bring healing to his body as he comes through this time of recovery. And I just trust, oh God, that you would just get the glory and the honor out of that. I want to remember some of the saints, Lord, that have not been feeling well, some missing tonight because of not feeling well. Just pray, Father, that you would just touch each one, you know, their respective situations and circumstances, and just ask that you bring healing to them all. We are careful to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for that. And Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, but not your presence, go with us. Keep us strengthened in the word. Keep us strengthened in our inner man. God, may we just continue to believe you for the impossible. Lord, that you would just continue to show yourself, Father, on our behalf and in every circumstance and situation. Give us traveling mercies as we go, Lord. Bring us back at appointed time on Sunday. May you meet us here in a very special way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I did want to just mention, I know that there's been a lot of reports of the flu going around and everything, and different ones going through, but I want to encourage those that have not endured that. I pray you don't. We are certainly binding it from going from house to house, and even if it started in one house, one person, we bind it from going to the next person. But also just want to encourage you, make sure you get yourself some vitamin C to get your immune system up. And just do the things necessary just to kind of build your own self up so you can withstand this onslaught, you know, that is coming. And some people are getting hit really, really hard. I had a friend of mine call me and said his wife got hit so hard she lost her ability to walk for a couple of days. And you know, so and once they kind of got some things in her system, then she was able to kind of regain strength. But you know, I just encourage, if you can, just basic vitamin C. Just, you know, get some of that and just kind of make sure that you get your immune system up so that you don't become a victim, you know, of what the devil's trying to give people. So just want to encourage you with that. God bless you, church. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss you.